Hello, and welcome back to the Scream Addicts Podcast. I'm Jason Jenkins. Call me Jenk. Sitting with me tonight are...
I'm Brian.
I'm Daniel Stern.
I'm Jeff with a G.
No, you're not.
I want a fake name.
You should have chosen one.
I'm Chester Von French.
Why?
Why?
You're so pleased with yourself. Yeah. Look at yourself. You're so happy that you just came up with that.
That's a
My
good
God.
One. That's improv.
That one's not so bad, actually.
For all the listeners right now, Brian is grinning ear to fucking ear right now over the name he just chose for himself. So, okay, gang. God, I don't even know where to start, so might as well start the same way we do every week by noting that for the last several weeks, we have been taking turns picking movies to come here every Thursday night and watch in the Mailroom Studios Screaming Room. There you go, Seth.
There it is.
I adopted
it.
Screaming
the
Room.
The listeners voted.
They didn't.
There
the
it
listeners.
Is.
They didn't. Our listeners don't talk to us at all. So.
David talks to us all
too.
The time.
Well, I mean, anybody else, really.
Sorry, not David. What is your name?
Throwing that out there, 27 people who download our podcast.
Hey.
Maybe hit us up on Twitter, throw some comments. I'm just, you know, something. Just let us know you're listening. Let us know if you hate us. Let us know if you love us.
Daniel Stern.
I love you.
Daniel Stern because of Home Alone, because of the movie we're talking about.
Have you seen Bushwhacked?
We're not talking. No. I'm putting my foot down. We're not talking Daniel Stern movies right now.
It's a very.
Did we just watch that?
It's a very Victor Salva film.
Let's not go there.
Let's not do Victor Salva again. We did Victor Salva. Victor Salva's
I've never
been
done. Victor Salva.
You're too old.
Not even when I didn't want to.
Okay. Hush. So this week we finally got around to Dave's choice again.
Wasn't my choice.
It was absolutely Dave's choice.
You stood outside the fucking door and said, hey,
there is a recurring theme here.
Hush is a good movie.
Dave refuses to own any of his choices. His previous choice
was
Angst.
I enjoyed Angst. I own it.
Own that.
Yeah. No, you were like, I don't know if I chose it. I just mentioned that I have this Blu-ray that I brought and opened and handed to you, but...
Did I sound like that?
Maybe a little.
A little bit.
That's scary.
A little Daniel Sterny. So Daniel Stern speaks.
So Dave, why don't you? Let's go ahead and settle this on air. What should I call you? Should I call you David or Dave?
He prefers Caliento.
I don't think he does.
Zesty Ken.
I don't. That is his Twitter handle. I'm not sure in real life as we sit in this room.
Sweet Baby Jane.
K-Fed.
All right, Sweet Baby Jane. Is that what?
Not Jane.
His name is Paul. Call him Paul.
All right, Paul. Why don't you tell us about your choice tonight? What did you choose?
I didn't choose this movie, but...
Oh, come on!
The people chose this movie.
The people chose this movie, yeah.
If the people is one person and is Paul, then yes.
You know, I heard people talking about this movie. And by talking, I mean it was on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the movie was?
Was Hush.
Hush. Mike Flanagan's new movie that was Netflix exclusive.
Hush. Hush.
And they're going to sing this all podcast probably. Flanagan is the director who gave us the kind of the shoestring budgeted movie about 5, 6, 7 years ago called Absentia, which is very good. If you get the chance to watch it, definitely give it a look. Mm-hmm. It's very good. I'll lend it to you. He followed that up with the Karen Gillan starring...
the WWE produced film.
They didn't produce it. I think they stepped in after. It's not a wrestling movie. He did a movie called Oculus that is a divisive film. Some people really like it. Some people like Brian hate it. Brian, you hate it, don't you?
Yeah, Bill Goldberg wasn't in it at all.
Okay. So,
that's
and
a problem.
Now, in between.
He wasn't Universal Soldier, too. So.
In between doing Oculus and apparently Nothing. Doing a remake for I Know What You Did Last Summer and. Doing Ouija 2 and apparently I know. But it actually makes me excited to see Ouija 2 now. I will watch it now, even though I hated the first one. It's not going to be a sequel.
You
it's
actually
like an
saw
anthology.
The first one?
I was paid. Why? When I worked at a movie theater, I was paid to watch that movie. And not only that,
as a bet?
You could have said
as a
no.
dare?
No, I had the preview. I had to watch it. I had to.
Not enough money in the world.
And you know what killed me?
Is that because the boss was like, who can we get to watch that?
Jinx likes horror movies.
Hey, you know what? There were worse things. To get paid and sit and watch a movie, even when they're bad, sometimes. Mm-hmm. Some of the movies, like say Wicker Man, I earned my money and then
way
some.
Better,
yeah, fighting
words. He pulled that sword out.
Yeah,
wait.
Fighting words. Yeah, I know. But
I've never seen either.
No, here's the really painful thing about Ouija. If I can take 2 seconds here,
Ouija.
The movie that the reason that I wound up watching, I had my choice of two movies to preview that morning, right?
Keija.
And the only reason I watch Ouija. Was because when I was writing for Dread
Spanish,
Central, they asked me to go ahead and preview that movie so I could write a review for it.
Sure.
You know what? So I was like, okay, I'll bite the bullet and do that. And it was terrible. You know what the other movie was? The other movie that I could have been previewing instead of watching fucking Ouija?
Was it Transformers?
John Wick.
Was your review, don't?
Basically.
Okay. So this guy directed Ouija?
Yep. No. He's directing the sequel, which, as I understand it, it's kind of an anthology series. Each one of them are not going to be related to the other.
Is directing a sequel to a really shitty film.
Yes.
And that has you excited.
Not really. No, I will watch it because it's him. Because I do like his movies. I liked Absentia a lot. I liked Oculus. I feel like I'm going to be the odd man out here. Surprise. I enjoyed Hush.
You mean Home Alone 4.
Yes.
The Wet Bandits Return.
Yeah. They did a Home Alone 4, dog. You got
to
go higher.
What? Home Alone 3? There's one after Home Alone 3?
There are like five.
Yeah, they returned to Kevin McAllister. Yeah, you got to go to like Home Alone 6.
Why are we watching these?
I just made that up.
Because, no.
Because they're absolute horse shit.
Yes.
I've seen Home Alone 4.
I just watched Home Alone 4.
You don't.
So anyway, Flanagan is apparently also in the mix to possibly direct the newly announced Blumhouse production of the new Halloween film, which is being executive produced by John Carpenter, who may do the score too. Why don't you like Blumhouse?
They just make shitty movies.
They make some shitty movies.
Unless
Swan's
attached to it.
They make some good movies too.
He's actually got to be directing it.
You didn't like Insidious 3?
Three good movies out of the 1,200 that they've made in the past 2 years.
You didn't like Creep?
I like Creep.
You didn't like...
That was Tilt, though. It's a little bit different.
It's the same.
It's a little bit different.
You didn't Green Inferno?
No.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Who did?
Fair enough. I was reaching there. I'm getting a list of
I thought it was just Eli Roth.
I don't like Insidious 3 either.
Right.
Or Insidious 2.
I think I've only seen the James Wan Blumhouse films. I don't think I've seen any other ones besides now Hush.
Hush.
Wasn't like the last Paranormal Activity a Blumhouse movie?
All
of them. Okay, there we go.
I saw the first one.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it in the theaters when I watched.
Remember when the lights went on and then off?
Do you remember this movie that we just watched for an hour and 20 minutes? A girl walked around the house the whole time.
I was excited by that.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a tick. You didn't like the Sinister?
There was pacing.
I liked Sinister.
Okay.
Sinister 2 wasn't as good.
Sinister 2 was.
No, we're gonna go ahead. We're gonna go through their filmography. You just give me a second.
Let's just sit back.
Because apparently we have nothing else to talk about.
Exactly. You didn't like The Bay?
No.
Dark Skies?
No.
Lords of Salem?
Lords of Salem. Is that the zombie film?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that movie.
I like that.
The Purge. And its sequel.
I like The Purge.
I like The Purge, too. I didn't like The Purge.
Ethan Hawke only makes films when he doesn't leave the house now.
13 Sins.
13 Sins.
I've never heard of that.
With Ron Perlman?
No.
Nope. Didn't see it.
Okay.
Then no.
Mockingbird, if you haven't seen it, that's fine. It's terrible.
Mockingbird, like The Hunger Games?
Whiplash. Yeah. You're telling me you didn't like Whiplash?
Whiplash?
That's not Whiplash. A
J.K. Simmons?
It's not a horror film, but it was Blumhouse.
That doesn't count.
I've never seen Whiplash.
Jezebel.
Never seen it.
I didn't like Jezebel.
Lazarus Effect. It was terrible.
Never
Lazarus
seen
Effect.
It.
Had a great cast.
Unfriended.
Wait, are we
surprisingly
going through,
good?
Unfriended was awful. It was garbage.
Come on.
Are we going through all 1,300 films?
Yeah.
Okay. Creep.
Creep.
Never
was
seen
good.
It.
Okay. The
wait,
Gallows.
Wait,
terrible.
Wait,
the Gift.
Wait.
Mark Duplass.
Is,
the Gift.
Duplass. Yeah.
Is
The Gift.
Is a bathtub. Is a the Creep gift. The one where the dude's making the documentary?
Yes.
Yeah. Tubby Time.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
That was a good movie.
The Gift.
The Gift was a good movie.
I've never heard of The Gift.
The Gift is great. The Visit.
Nope. Never heard of it.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and cut this short because there are a lot more movies we could talk about. Okay. But we are here to talk about
all the bad ones.
One of the newer Blumhouse movies called Hush, which was a Netflix exclusive. And guys, why don't you tell me what you thought about it? Thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you think?
That was a Netflix exclusive?
Wow. I think so. It was released solely to them. It hasn't been put in theaters. It's
was
not
it made
VOD?
By Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Is it on Blu-ray or anything, or is it just on Netflix?
Just on Netflix. I'm assuming it'll eventually get a home video release. But
Daredevil hasn't.
Yeah, good point. That's Marvel, though.
I don't give a shit. It's Netflix exclusive.
I really want those, too. I want those on my damn shelf, but
But you can watch it anytime you want on Netflix.
I want it on my shelf.
In HD.
So it can sit there forever.
Exactly. He gets it.
And gain in value.
Or is making fun of me. One of the
I don't entirely get it.
Okay. Wait, Hush or Netflix?
Daredevil.
Daredevil. You don't get we're not talking Daredevil.
No, I just don't get you wanting to own it since you can watch it.
I know. You're a collector. You collect comic books. You should get this about me.
Not really.
Okay, fine. All right. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Hush. Tell me, what did you think of this movie, guys?
Let's start with Brian.
Thumbs down.
Brian didn't like it. Dave, the guy who chose it, and you did choose it.
I was pretty bored by it.
Okay. Seth?
Thumbs up.
You liked it.
Whoa.
I actually liked it a lot.
I'll be damned.
We'll bring him around.
You played that close to the chest.
I did. I actually enjoyed it a lot.
I did too.
I liked it.
I did too. Okay. I thought it was a fun little thriller.
I thought it was going to be scarier.
Were you thrilled?
The trailer made me think I was going to be way more afraid of it than I was. Like with like jump scare, you know, basically what the Blumhouse films that I've seen are known for, where they like jump scare you to death.
Mm-hmm.
But this one actually didn't have a whole lot, mainly because she couldn't hear. So you couldn't really have a jump scare. But
well, you totally could because they transitioned in and out of that hearing thing quite often.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I think it would have been far more interesting if they'd done it completely silent, though.
Oh, like a silent film.
And they just had music and you didn't hear anything else. That would have been interesting.
Hmm.
But what are you going
to do? So wait, would all of the speaking folks be in subtitles too?
Yep.
Yeah.
What about the moments when it cuts away from her entirely?
We don't see those.
Yeah, we do.
No, I'm saying in my version we wouldn't see those.
Oh, okay. I got you.
We would see the guy on the porch who gets knifed from her POV. We'd watch it happen from her POV.
You'd miss the first kill, though.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, but that's all right.
Is it? Now you only have one death.
Let's go ahead and take a second for our viewers.
Because then, if you don't see that, whenever she's like tapping on the window, it's like, oh my God, he killed her. Yeah, see? You could do it. Huh. It's almost like he wrote it that way anyway, and Blue Mouse said, we can't make a silent film.
All right, let's go ahead and make a shitty movie.
We have to pay SAG wages. We can't have nobody talk.
Let's go ahead and take a second to synopsize the movie for any listeners who may not know what this is about. Yeah, Dave,
who's
take
Paul?
It away.
You're Paul.
Oh. Synopsize the movie?
Jinx told me I couldn't call
it. It's pretty
easy. I didn't know. Home Alone. Home invasion movie in which our trapped individual is a deaf-mute woman.
Named Maddie Young.
I always forget
who
the name.
Who's a novelist.
She's written a book.
She's written a book. She can't write her second book.
Right.
Which has seven endings.
Ending stuff. You know, money now,
notice
please.
How that plays into the story? Seven
yeah,
endings.
They totally paid that off.
Yeah.
They I didn't, rather like that.
They didn't no, tell
I
did. Us
I,
all about
I
it.
I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's all right.
Fuck you, Brian.
Some guy. Some guy shows
one more
up,
sigh.
Murders her friend.
Yes.
And says, I can break into your house whenever I want to.
He's just terrorized. He terrorizes her for the entire film.
He wears a little mask for a while. Then he takes that off.
Sure.
I thought that was kind of interesting. He starts out as kind of like a typical masked slasher, and then at a certain point when confronted with the notion that he shouldn't have to hurt because it's not like she's seen his face or anything, he removes his mask and then just sort of discards it. And I don't think I've seen a slasher movie where that's happened.
I think that's
what
the point of the movie is
what
that
I
it
enjoyed,
continually discards
what I enjoyed
those.
about that part is that, so he's like the silent killer, which is what a slasher is the whole time, right?
Sure.
So he takes off his mask, and then he's still stalking her. But the longer his mask is off, the more she becomes like confident in trying to do things. And then she becomes the silent stalker because he's talking all the time. The roles are switched.
He gets chattier as the movie goes, it seems.
I thought it was cool because she's the slasher.
That said, I didn't.
He's bad at it.
The slinging slasher.
But.
They're both like terrible at slashing.
Well, yeah. No, yeah. He killed 13 people. You saw it scratched on his crossbow.
I know. Why did he do like one scratch
I don't
on
know.
The left?
I don't know. She's insane. But did you know? I don't know if you noticed this. I counted the stabs of the first girl.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did this. He stabbed her 13 times. She was his 13th kill, and he stabbed her 13 times.
He's an asshole.
Yeah, he is.
That slasher. I mean, they don't really. We don't know anything about the slasher past what our lead does. There are no moments of exposition where he explains why he's doing it. There's no tortured backstory, nothing like
nope.
that. He's there. He's hunting her. That's pretty much all we know about him. But it's interesting that the guy who, I don't know the actor's name. Guys, help me out. Does anyone know his name?
Which guy?
The guy from 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yes.
That guy?
Okay. That guy.
Something Junior.
Okay.
call him Junior.
Just call him Junior, yeah.
All right. But the way he plays the character, he's not a typical slasher movie figure where
he's
he stalks around.
Job.
Even when he has the mask on, there's sort of a swagger to him that makes me think that he wasn't trying to be Jason or Michael Myers or something of that sort.
No, because
he's
actually
not supernatural. Well,
no. He's enjoying it.
Yeah. And
enjoys the hell out of it.
I kind of appreciate it about him. And it seems like his confidence grows too when he does away with the mask as well. He can be more him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he is a complete sadist. He's a dick. We can just go ahead and say that about
and
the guy. But
and he can't fight Jerry O'Connell.
That wasn't Jerry O'Connell. Yes. That was Michael Trucco from
totally
Battlestar Galactica.
And the guy's name is John Gallagher Jr.
John Gallagher Jr., who was very good in 10 Cloverfield Lane. And I thought he was very good in this.
And The Newsroom.
I haven't watched The Newsroom, but I really want to. I feel like a bad HBO fan. Aaron's
I've not watched it, and I have no desire.
It's really good. Jeff Daniels is great.
Jeff Daniels has one movie.
Wait, what? Don't say Dumb and Dumber.
Move on.
Dumb and Dumber is good. No.
Move on.
We're going to settle this Jeff Daniels issue, sir.
Well, you just settled
it. Yeah. Here we go.
Dumb and Dumber.
Good you job. Don't recognize... He has other movies.
Name them?
I don't want it. I don't have to. I don't. Backed into a corner here. I can't really think of any. Gettysburg. Gettysburg.
Paper,
that's another.
Paperman.
Paperman was awesome.
Gettysburg. Right.
My God, we got to Gettysburg from Hush.
I don't need your Civil War jinx.
All right. So, but I did. I like the guy's performance. I also like the lead. Was it Kate Siegel?
Yes.
Who's also the co-writer of the film. I thought she gave a very good performance. Acting-wise, I thought the movie was fairly solid. But
I enjoyed it.
Cool.
I liked it a lot.
The thing about this movie is I don't think it had any aims outside of just, being a fun thriller. So I don't think we're going to be able to pick this movie.
It wasn't fun.
I'm not sure it was fun. Yeah. I think it's just a slasher movie that tries desperately to deconstruct slasher movies.
Okay, but in what way?
By having our slasher be inept, not supernatural, and our hero is somebody who is quite capable. What are you doing? What's going on here?
I'm just.
You're a little low. Am I a little low? Yeah.
Got it.
No, but
well, I just saw.
But
that.
Did you appreciate that about the movie? Then that sort of reversal.
Not really. Once I saw that happening, then I was like, okay, this is what the movie's going to do. The movie doesn't move beyond that.
Where would you like to have seen it?
I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. That's why I didn't pick this movie.
Oh my God. Okay, Dave, looking ahead, how many ever. God, how. Your next choice, what is it going to be? Go ahead and spill it right now. We want to know what your choice will be.
I haven't got a turn to pick one yet.
Your first choice. Go ahead. You have to have one. You have to have one on deck if you're this angry about the two previous choices you made not being your choices.
You know what? Truthfully, I'm not angry about this movie.
I feel nothing towards it.
Kind of how I feel. I was like, okay, I've got the idea. What are we going to do with this? And then it kind of is nothing.
Okay. Brian, how about you?
I just think there's a better version of this movie, and it's called The Strangers.
See, it reminded me more of, are you guys familiar with the movie called Wait Until Dark?
Nope.
No.
Really?
I get comparing it to The Strangers. This one, I think, for me was better because she is deaf, there is more for her to overcome. So her overcoming at the end of it is stronger to me than in The Strangers.
Although
in The Strangers, they lose. I mean, the killers win.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a downer. This
spoiler.
I did. I know.
This one had
spoilers for an 8-year-old movie.
This one had more of an uplifting ending to me.
Yeah, I don't need and that.
I don't want an uplifting ending.
I enjoyed that about it.
I thought she was going to die. I thought the...
I was so happy in that first ending.
I'm doing spoiling, yeah, right?
Yeah.
You were happy to see her die.
Actually, yeah. I was, because I thought like,
that's the end of the movie as well.
That's a little bit unusual.
When that happened, I was like, well, that's different. But I was like, oh, man, that fucking blows. She's dead. Now I feel terrible. I wanted her to win.
But it was just like so sudden and unexpected. And
but can you still appreciate that?
Her
death was that sudden, and then I mean, it was a trick, but not only that, it wasn't a trick for the sake of it or whatever. There is a reason story-wise why that happens and why we see that play out that I thought was kind of interesting. The notion that she's a novelist, and early on she's working on a book, and she has multiple endings because she can't settle on one, and then she sort of, in a strange way, uses that in the finale of the movie to run through all of the possible scenarios that she is facing with this killer. And I like that.
See, that's the part that bothered me, though, is because at the beginning of the movie, she's talking about the ending of her book, and the girl talks about how she never could have thought of that ending, and she's good at guessing endings. And then they get to the ending of the movie, and it's the movie that you always see. It's the ending that you always see.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, but movie-wise, yeah, I guess. But in real life, I wonder, at least within the world of the movie or whatever, one would imagine that outcome would be kind of unexpected. Because she's right about everything that she says and she runs through. Like, he is bigger, he is faster, he's not losing blood in the way that she is. I mean, she's at death's door pretty much right before the big finale. So,
That's every horror movie, though.
I've never seen a horror movie where the lead from one single wound, ultimately two, but one single wound is actually behaving like somebody with that kind of injury would, which is their vision starts going in and out. They start limping around, collapsing or whatever.
Do you know if that really happens, though?
I don't know if it happens or not. I can say I appreciate it in this film. I would imagine blood loss would lead to those sorts of things. Am I
sure? She tapered it off.
She
doesn't know how to make a tourniquet?
She kind of did. She kind of didn't.
I am glad that whenever she was trying to cock the crossbow, she didn't get it on the first try.
She didn't get it on the 20th
yeah,
try.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be, if she just like gets it done, I was like, that's going to be stupid. But the only question that I have about the film is at the end of it, whenever she says, okay, I'm going to fight him. And she writes in her blood, do it, on the window for the guy. Mm-hmm. As he's bashing the door in, and she's describing him in her Word doc, and is like, and she says goodbye to her mom, whatever. And then she runs into the bathroom, and she's facing the door with the knife. He comes in from behind her in the tub. How the fuck did he get there?
Window.
You yeah, see, window. Like, glass breaking yeah. and falling down behind
but,
her.
But does she have no peripheral?
Well, he's
she's deaf.
Behind, directly
not
behind,
directly
her.
Behind her.
No, the window was to the right.
No.
Yes, it was.
I think it was directly behind her because his leg's coming right behind yeah. her.
Do you know how I know it's not? Because he's watching her cock the crossbow with her back against the tub, and he's looking at
that was
at,
that was an earlier scene.
There's yeah. two windows.
There's two windows in the bathroom?
Of course. Yeah.
Sure. And one's directly behind the shower.
Is this where you're arguing with this movie? Is it the windows?
This is the line you draw.
That was my issue, is that I don't know how he got in there without her seeing him.
Yeah.
Hmm. I mean, her vision was blurring. Maybe that's what they're going for.
She fell asleep for a bit.
There are also a lot of doors to her house.
Lots of glass.
I don't know why she kept closing them behind her.
I don't know either, because you'd think somebody
just in
who
case
was
he gets
deaf,
in.
The,
he's coming going
the
through
first
the door.
Thing you want to do is keep that person in sight at all times.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not deaf.
I don't get deaf.
Get deaf.
Well, she knows something that the killer doesn't either, too, which is that her house is outfitted, at least with the doors, with bulletproof glass that cannot be bashed in with a fucking crowbar.
Yeah. What's that about?
That surprised me. I'm like, no wonder she can't. I wondered, too. It's like,
except
why even bother?
Window.
Except the bathroom window. Because, you know, who's going to break in through that one? But,
well, somebody trying to kill you.
Obviously.
She's obviously not prepared for that.
What happened to Craig?
Yeah, what happened?
I was
Craig?
Waiting for him to pop back up.
Ah, he's pissed.
Oh, the boyfriend?
She yeah. turned down like four calls or whatever. He's not ever calling back. They're done. He moved on.
It's in the sequel.
No, oh, okay. Can't wait. Hush 2.
You Hush 2.
Shush.
It's
Electric Boogaloo.
It's the Christmas episode.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think we've run out of things to say already. We're
no,
only 22
no,
minutes
I
in.
I mean, I think the weird thing about this film is that I enjoyed it. I liked it. I had some obviously weird concerns, but I don't know what else to say beyond I liked it. I like how the ending worked out. Beyond talking about on what I liked about the plot, I don't know what else to say because
no, same here. I mean, the previous podcasts that we've done, we've really like sort of dug into the films and what they could possibly mean. This one is teaspoon deep.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be playing with like any grand themes except for overcoming triumph, you know, even though you're deaf. But beyond that, I don't think it's trying to say anything else anyway.
No. But, I mean, for its aims, I think it sets out and does well, I think what it is, it meant to be. I don't think it means to be anything more than a very simple sort of thriller
yeah.
with
well,
a neat
I don't. I think it tries to show us what a home invasion slash slasher movie, how it would really play out, or something more realistic.
Well, but that's only how it... But it's like it's only how it would go if the girl was deaf, because if the girl wasn't deaf, he wouldn't take off his mask.
Would yeah, he? I would think something.
I don't know.
I would say that I like The Strangers more. I love that movie, and I like the French film Them, which is essentially The Strangers too, a bit more than this one too. But I appreciated the gimmick in this one, the notion that
yeah.
she was.
Yeah.
And it really does remind me of this movie. Dave, have you not heard of it? Wait
what?
Until Dark.
I have.
Audrey
I
Hepburn.
Yes.
It's a woman trapped in an apartment without one
wait,
of her senses. She's
wait,
blind.
She's blind.
Yeah,
I've seen yeah. that movie.
Yeah. It's a great film. And it
that's
has,
a good movie.
It's not a horror movie, but yeah. it has one hell of a scare.
That's a good, yeah. I like that movie. That's a good movie.
But Hush, the entire time, it felt like a riff on that. Like if you
a bit,
fused
yeah.
that
yeah.
with The Strangers, yeah. then that's totally what it winds up being. But yeah, I dug it. It's a simple movie, but what it did, I thought it did very well, and I enjoyed it for that.
I like the way that it uses sound or not sound. Because occasionally we'll hear everything, and then when she's alone, we hear nothing like she does. I liked her Daredevil scene where she's under the porch and she's like putting her hand up there to try to feel the vibrations. Although I will say, I mean, it is a predictable film. I mean,
oh sure,
I had a feeling she wasn't going to die until they killed her, and then I was like, well, that's bizarre. But then eventually she doesn't die. But the whole smoke alarm thing, like I knew that was gonna that she was going to use
check
that.
Off smoke alarm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody
mentioned that at the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody went into that knowing that. Oh, I mean, they set everything up.
Yes.
And then they pay off on it, but it doesn't feel quite like a payoff because it is so obvious.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it as much because I did enjoy the film. I do think it does build tension pretty well in certain scenes. The scene where John, the boyfriend of the neighbor, is talking to the killer, which I don't know why you'd even ever start to believe that the guy's a cop.
That was such an eye roller.
It's like he noticed way too late the guy was not a cop. But I mean, that whole time in that scene, there is tension because the whole time I just wanted whatever was going to happen because I was kind of like...
I would say that's not tension. That's just boredom.
No. Well, I mean, me describing it, yeah, but the way that I felt during it was tension. Describing it sounds like boredom, but it didn't feel like boredom to me.
And it felt weirdly...
I left the room during that moment, so...
It's okay. She was still cocking the crossbow.
Yeah.
It felt weirdly realistic to me in a way, though. That, like, very early in that scene when I should let the viewers know, the boyfriend of the victim...
Sarah.
One of the
Sarah the neighbor.
Sarah next door.
Sarah next door. Sarah next door.
He shows up and tries to get in to find out where his girlfriend has gone, and the killer, unmasked at this point, basically shows up pretending to be a cop. Now, the killer is wearing a hoodie and jeans and gloves.
Neck tattoo.
Has a flashlight
he
and an army.
He's undercover.
The guy's like, did he? And then,
what's interesting is he has that moment straight away where he looks at him like, this is a fucking cop. And you can tell, like, he's writing that line. Like,
he also asks him if he's a cop, and the guy's like, I'm a deputy. I'm new. And he's like, right.
And then, like, there's no car there. So, like,
I thought he was going to say, where's your car?
Does John see the earring fall out of his pocket?
Yes.
And that's the moment when he.
Where he's like, no, yeah, definitely not a cop.
Okay,
That was the tip off.
And then he.
Now wait a second.
I like the sort of forced politeness between them early on when they both kind of know what the deal is anyway. But
right,
they're still trying to tiptoe around. Like,
oh yeah.
The killer is trying to maneuver him because he knows he can't take this guy who's head and shoulders taller than him and muscular and would have kicked his ass and even notes that later. But at the same time, the guy is put in a situation where, like, you know. He probably only thinks that maybe this is a robber. Who knows how dangerous he's going to be? He might actually be a cop, and I'm not going to assault a cop. You know, there's a weird dance that they do that I actually found kind of intense.
And and I knew the killer was going to kill him, but it happened a lot faster than I thought it would. He just kind of stabs him in the neck, and then he's a dick about it because he's like, "Shh, it's fine. It's gonna be okay. You're good. It's cool." And the whole time he keeps saying, "Yeah, I could not have taken you in a fight." And the guy falls down. We assume dead. And then he gets right back up and chokeholds the guy. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
But this probably isn't going to last because it's not John's movie.
How many horror movies have we seen where somebody gets stabbed in the gut or, you know, anywhere really, and they're dead immediately?
This guy got stabbed in the jugular.
This guy got stabbed in the jugular,
and, the leg.
And he goes down like a fucking champ.
Yeah, he does.
And
Jerry O'Connell, get some.
Jerry O'Connell does not fare well in slasher films.
No.
He did really well in Piranha.
I do like Jerry O'Connell.
The both of them survived Scream 2.
He did.
No, they did.
Oh, he got a bad.
No, they weren't in Scream 2 together.
Who are you talking about?
Never mind.
Oh, come on. We got to settle this.
Doesn't matter.
Jerry O'Connell was in Scream 2.
I was thinking of the two of them in the DJ Qualls film where he goes back to high school as a badass.
The new guy. He's in Can't Hardly Wait as well,
yes,
Jerry O'Connell.
Anyway, he does, in fact, die
in Scream 2. Jennifer Love Hewitt was in I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Hush.
I should note yet again for the listeners that Jerry O'Connell is not, in fact, in Hush. It is Michael Trudeau.
As far as we know.
It could be.
From Battlestar Galactica.
Google it and let me know.
Yeah. We're not experts.
I'm not a movie scientist.
Somebody was playing the cat.
But as obvious as the movie's plot is, I liked it a lot. It's a fun movie. It definitely made me tense in scenes, and I don't know. It's like most films, good or bad, home invasion films always make me get a bit on edge.
Same here.
Because I'm a kind of a paranoid guy anyway. So most home invasion films get me like really on edge.
I enjoyed it quite a bit too. I thought it was mostly tense throughout. I liked the gimmick of it, and I liked the performances. I liked the lead character. I actually felt a great deal for her. Maybe that's just simply because of her handicap, but I loved her performance. I thought she was very sort of sympathetic. Oh, do you not feel even worse for this poor woman who's targeted in her home because she cannot hear?
Nope.
She's lived with it.
Equal rights,
man.
It makes her victory that much more sweeter.
Yes.
Because she even smiles at the end of it.
I wanted her to lose.
Because she wants more blood.
Yeah, she was fading in and out of consciousness until she walked out on the porch and petted the cat. She was good then.
And was
it's called adrenaline. Got,
she was
I was going to say, her it's blood had adrenaline. Been pumping by that.
I know, her out of her leg.
Oh. Way to go, Paul.
That's our version.
So Paul.
That is so Paul. I love when Paul does that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I liked it.
Yeah, I don't want to make me seem like I don't like it, because I do. I just don't know what to say about it beyond I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the thrills that sure. To me it had.
It's a simple film
done well. I like the story. I think it's the best way to say it. It's a very simple film, but it's done well.
Yeah.
It's a simple. It's an ABC kind of plot. It's just done well.
Is it?
I think it's an ABC. maybe it's an AB plot. But I thought that they did it pretty well.
I don't think I like home invasion movies.
No.
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 Not that they don't scare me. I just
what's
don't
the which ones have you seen? Like, have you seen The Strangers or them?
I thought Your Next was good.
I fucking hate that movie.
Oh, I like
Your
that.
Next. Was really
I
good.
Fucking hate that movie.
I really like that.
I hated. Your Next
that,
when that, I saw it.
There
theaters.
We go, Ron.
That twist was stupid.
That
twist was fucking stupid.
I love the twist even the first time I saw it. But I will say I have this weird relationship with Your Next where I love Adam Wingard's previous movie. It was
Don't know who he is.
Horrible Way to Die. He also wound up doing The Guest, which is great.
Didn't watch it.
And he's doing the Cinemax adaptation of Outcast?
The band.
No.
Yeah. That'd be great.
But Out of Wild too.
I rewatched Your Next a couple of times.
It's and, shit.
I wound up liking it quite a bit.
No, you don't, Jinx.
Jinx is on our side.
It's
now.
It took me a while. It's a stupid movie.
You need to watch The Guest.
I enjoyed it.
I think you'll like The Guest.
Part of me, I think I might hate Your Next more. It's the same reason that I hate Drag Me to Hell. I was fucking, duped by the trailer. The trailer makes it seem like it's like a really scary home invasion film. It's like, oh no, I grew up in the outback. I know how to work knives and guns. Oh, surprise. It's this weird slapsticky comedy by the end of it. Stupid.
I kind of dug it.
I don't care what you dug. You're wrong. It's not a good movie.
I think.
Not a good movie.
It's good.
No.
You know what's not a good movie?
What's it?
Hush.
Hush is a good movie. I'm not going to say it's great or amazing, but it's a good movie that's worth a watch.
So watch it if you have Netflix.
I don't know about it.
If you don't have Netflix.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. It'll hit Blu-ray and DVD eventually along
You're
with Daredevil.
Don't worry about those either.
You're next.
You need to watch The Guest.
Fuck all three of you.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't even know what The Guest is.
It has.
I've shown you the trailer and you just didn't watch it.
That's good. Wait. No, hold on.
That is so Paul.
The Guest is with the really hot military guy in it, right?
Sure.
With the gun.
He's got a
and
gun.
And he comes home and like his brothers died. Okay.
It's like Halloween meets the Terminator.
I wanted to watch it, but for probably entirely.
It's more comedic than anything, too.
I'm the 20th person to say that, but it's true.
But, yeah,
It's comedic.
I don't like horror and comedy mixed, because they're all just comedies.
Well, it's comedic, but it's born naturally from the characters. It's not slapsticky for the sake of it. There's what humor there is natural to the plot.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Like a comedy.
No. I don't know.
It's kind of an action film, too.
What is it, Jinx?
it's interesting. It's a genre blender of a movie. I dig it.
It's so many things. It's like Detention.
Uh-oh.
Always ready for football.
I like how you shake. You just get energized.
Freedom Williams making a comeback.
Oh, my God. Okay, because Hush is a relatively simple movie, and because we have already pretty much stated why we either liked it or didn't care for it so much, we find ourselves at the 33-minute mark, and I think we pretty much run out of steam for this podcast, so it's going to be a relatively short week.
But Jinx.
We got the green
Jinx,
room.
What else have you seen recently?
You guys didn't want to talk about it last week. You want to talk about it this week?
What is that you're talking about now?
About a week and a half ago, myself, Brian, and Dave caught Green Room, Jeremy Saulnier's new movie. The guy who directed Blue Run. I really like the movie.
It's a horror comedy, isn't it?
It is a horror comedy.
Actually, not going with horror.
It's a comedy.
It's not a horror. It is not a fucking comedy.
It is not a comedy.
There's some funny
listeners, Brian and Dave giggled like fiends throughout this movie.
What do you want to do
as
in it?
Horrible things were happening on screen.
Were you sitting there aghast?
This like, was yes, I was.
When Patrick Stewart's being so kind, I love that.
Hey guys, you come in there. Yeah.
No, I will say
you'll have to give me the gun.
I will say that Patrick Stewart doesn't belong in the film. I love Patrick Stewart, but this wonderful, old, kindly British gentleman had
skinhead.
Patrick Stewart had no place in this. Where was it?
The movie even had callback jokes throughout it. Like the Desert Island Band was mentioned several times comedic moments.
Yeah. The what?
I'm not saying there wasn't comedy in it. I'm saying that the when Desert bad Island things Band. Happened, I wasn't.
There are three Desert Island Bands.
I wasn't laughing.
Or just one.
I was mostly laughing.
You guys concerned me a little bit during that showing. I'm going to throw that out there.
I don't know why.
They laughed during Onks, too. I mean, we all laughed.
Yeah. Well, that was just that turned into a farce at some point. But
I didn't laugh during Hush.
No, you didn't.
No.
Well, you did a couple of times.
I chuckled a little
near the end. Yeah.
You chortled.
Yeah.
Whenever the wasp spray came into play, and then she was just holding a giant light at somebody. Like Iron Man.
That is the...
My God.
That's a movie. That's a movie. That's two detention jokes.
Oh, wow.
It's the movie that keeps giving.
It does. You missed the green room.
I did, and you said punk rock horror film, and then you just told me it's a comedy film. I no longer want to watch it.
It's got a punk rock band that is being booked by a shady character in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
They're a little too young to be punk rockers, and they seem to have a punk rock pedigree that goes back to like Minor Threat. One of the guy's Desert Island discs was the first Minor Threat album. I'm like, come on.
But I like that they're all terrible.
Minor Threat's a good band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you give me that.
I'm not saying that.
No, you didn't. You said it with your eyes.
No.
So what? Are they just killed?
They're trapped in the green room.
Yeah. They witness in the venue that they're playing. They witness a murder in the green room, and they pretty much have to wall themselves into said room as all the skinheads decide what they're going to do with these witnesses. And Patrick Stewart, who's the head of all of the skinheads, for some reason, shows up on scene and winds up being unintentionally funny throughout.
The deaths are pretty brutal. I mean, they're brutal, gory deaths.
Yeah.
But that's the only horrific part of the movie.
Huh.
And the notion that you have, like, you're stuck in the middle of nowhere getting picked off one by one by...
Patrick Stewart.
We haven't seen that before.
No, but it's still meant to be intense and not a giggle fest.
Do you think...
They make jokes.
I don't agree with that at all. I think it was funny.
Do you think it would have been different if it wasn't Patrick Stewart?
Yes.
Would you have still found it funny?
I think so.
Well,
I think the kids,
that's how we do things.
The kid from Charlie Bartlett and...
I can't do it. Patrick Stewart.
Anton Yelchin.
Fright Night.
Anton Yelchin.
Yeah. He had a lot of funny parts in the movie.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Aaliyah Shawkat was in it.
Who's that?
It was kind of a Fright Night remake reunion because it had Yelchin in it and Imogen Poots, who was his girlfriend in Fright Night.
Her name is Imogen Poots?
Imogen.
No. What's her name?
What's her name?
Imogen Poots.
Hush.
Imogen Poots.
Poots with a T.
What the fuck happening? Imogen Poots. Jesus Christ.
She's British. They name people that.
They do name people that. They do. Long line of Poots. I'll watch it, maybe. I don't know.
There's a scene where the lead singer of the band has the security guard in like an arm bar. Like he's just arm barring him to the ground.
Yeah. He's like an MMA guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just funny.
It was funny.
It's just funny.
I didn't know that was the end of the story. I thought there was more to that scene.
It's more of a visual joke.
He has him an armbar, and, you know, it's...
It's funny.
It's funny, I guess. It's an armbar.
There's a guy who gets killed by a dog.
What?
Yeah, that's vicious.
A dog rips him up at one point.
That's a vicious moment.
Yeah. I don't want to watch that.
It's not funny. They laughed at it.
I don't want to watch that.
I did not laugh at the dog eating.
I laughed at the dog.
I laughed at the dog walking on the road by itself as it ran away.
Yeah.
That was funny.
They laughed a lot.
Why?
It was concerning.
It was just kind of out of place.
I don't know what happened. But.
See, it's funny because Patrick Stewart comes in and he's not like a tough skinhead. He just wants to do damage control.
Yeah.
And so he tries to talk very kindly.
He's
to
the wolf.
The kids.
From Pulp Fiction.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But kills people.
But he doesn't actually kill anybody.
No, yeah, he doesn't.
He was 30 minutes away at the very beginning, but when he finds out what's happened, it takes him like 10 minutes, 32 seconds.
That's Wolf.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, he hates his subordinates because they
the
gun.
So we have a skinhead version of Wolf. We have dogs eating people, much like in Django Unchained.
A person.
It's a Tarantino ripoff.
No. No.
That's 2 points.
Yeah.
That's 2 points, dog.
So, but I would say watch it. Watch Green Room. Unfortunately, the theater around here only had it for 1 week, and that was for a super late showing. One showing each night at 10:30. It was ridiculous.
That's all right. I'm sure it'll be out on Blu-ray or Netflix.
Eventually. In like a month, I think. So, yeah.
That's good.
So whose pick is it next week?
My
it
pick
is Brian's.
What are you going to pick?
I think I'm going to do Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Nice.
It's a good movie.
It's a great flick.
David, have you watched that movie?
I have not watched it yet. I'm excited to watch it.
It's good. You'll probably hate it, but it's pretty good.
I don't know.
It's not a horror movie, so...
I think we're moving away from from horror movies now.
It is it's
a mockumentary.
it's
I know a little about it.
It's good.
It's not like even it. It's no, I love the film.
Also,
it isn't a horror film,
also,
but it's kind of a horror it's not really
I'm
a horror
not
comedy.
Spoil it for you, David. The twist, I liked the twist.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. It was clever.
So yeah. Really, I'm the only one who hasn't seen the movie.
Yeah. It is a clever. It's also, I think, kind of a simple story.
So when you get your
really
seat
well.
Back next week, Dave, I'm going to be shooting you looks, trying to just see how you're. How
and you're allowed to laugh.
I'll be
this
laughing,
movie.
Right?
Yes.
Laugh.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. This one, man.
I don't understand
I
how.
Okay with why was I not allowed to laugh in the green room?
I don't know.
Apparently not.
Everybody was allowed.
Jinx is just concerned that you would.
I think Jinx was the only person not laughing in the theater.
Yeah. I think you said that to me, didn't you, at one point?
Yeah.
Why isn't he laughing at the bloodshot? I don't know.
David was the only guy not laughing during the Nice Guys.
Yeah,
that's your fault.
And there were 15 of us there.
So wait a second. You laughed during a horror movie.
Wow. Yeah.
But you were stone-faced during a comedy.
He was horrified in the Nice Guys.
I wasn't horrified. I was just... bored, really bored.
I haven't seen The Nice Guys, so I can't judge it yet. But it's Shane Black, so
I'm sure you can judge.
It's not as good as Kiss Kiss,
but it's a
no,
fun
it's
movie.
Not.
It's a fun movie.
Which one?
Both of them. I mean, both of them are fun movies, but
Nice Guys not fun.
I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, so anything Shane Black does, I'm there.
Monster Squad,
including The Predator.
That's true.
Which is coming up in 18 years, apparently.
He is known for.
They announced it way the fuck out.
What?
The Predator. It doesn't come out until like 2018.
Shane Black is doing it?
Yeah.
Shane Black was in Predator.
He is writing and directing not a remake, but a reboot that's set in the present
day. That's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Those words are the same goddamn thing. Are you kidding me? Not a remake, but a reboot?
It's not doing the same story, but
fuck
it's
no.
It's what you would call a jumping on point in comics, Seth. It's not redoing the same story. It's the new 52 for Predator.
Listen to me,
Seth.
It's an issue zero.
New 52 was
it's
a reboot.
Zero.
Motherfucker, listen to me. It was a jumping on point. Do the previous films count?
Yes.
Then it's not a reboot. It's a sequel.
Okay, it's a sequel that acts as a jumping on point.
There you go. That's what I'd say.
There you go.
You know, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, that took fucking forever to say. You couldn't just accept reboot, Seth.
I can accept reboot.
Except that when I say reboot, I can mean one thing or the other.
They're not rebooting.
Let it be all encompassing.
So except when you say reboot, that you mean something that's not a reboot.
Well,
thumbs up.
When you put it like that, I just shut the fuck up.
But Brian, let's talk about The Nice Guys.
Oh,
anyway, okay. Shane Black is doing a movie called
The
Predator.
It's 18 years from now.
No, it's set in 2018. They announced it way the fuck back. So
they're like Pixar movies at this point.
But you know what? Let them take their time.
We'll do another
with it.
One.
Let them take their time so that we get something kind of cool.
They'll get
it.
It wrong.
It's Shane Black.
Just more time to mess it up.
They'll get it wrong.
Shane Black writing and directing. Oh no! He is co-writing. You ready for this? Co-write. I think it's the guy's first credit in fucking like 20 years or something. He is co-writing it. With Fred Decker.
Who's Fred Decker?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Are you kidding me?
No.
I thought you were going to say Fred Savage, and I got real excited for a second.
Fred Decker was the guy who acted in various capacities as writer and director on The Monster Squad and Night of the Creeps.
Oh.
And
and what?
Is Rosinski?
Avrozinski?
RoboCop 3.
You just did
RoboCop 3.
Yeah, but they fucked with him, I'm sure.
I'm
that
not
movie
even
is...
sure if I've seen RoboCop 3.
It's not as bad as you've
is
heard.
Is that the one
but
with
it's
the
not
jetpack?
As good as it should be. Yeah, there's
okay, I've seen RoboCop 3.
One with the jetpack.
I've seen RoboCop 3.
Robotic
Yakuza. Frank Miller tried to write that film. Although Frank Miller has tried to write a lot of things.
Yeah, he turned it into a comic eventually. It's fine.
It wasn't any better than the movie.
Nope. Sorry, Avatar, but that comic sucks.
Sorry, Frank. You lost it way before 300.
Around the time he put out Dark Knight Strikes?
No, I actually like Dark Knight Strikes again.
Nah, you're wrong.
That's fine, I guess.
Wow, we went way the hell away.
We're having a crossover with my show.
So, next week we're going to watch a horror movie?
Kind of.
Watching a comedy.
Okay.
It's
a mockumentary.
We'll continue our trend then of not watching horror movies.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we've seen one yet, have we?
Jeepers Creepers is a horror film.
Okay, that's got a monster.
Okay, we've gone through...
I win!
We've gone through Angst.
Which is...
Detention.
That's technically a horror film, right? Angst, what's called a horror film?
Is it?
It's more of a psycho thriller.
Is it just when people kill other people, it becomes a horror
movie?
I have no
idea. I don't know what the horror genre is anymore.
I don't think I do either.
Can somebody tell us?
Probably wasn't fucking detention.
You know,
I'll throw that up.
I will say this.
Why not?
I would ask our listener, but I don't know.
As ridiculous as I'm sure that this podcast sounds right now, I'm glad, since we started doing the pick a movie a week, I thought I knew what the horror genre was. I thought it was a very easy box to place things in.
Oh, no,
I'm
no,
realizing
no.
now it's not. If nothing else, I have realized that I don't know what a horror film is. Yeah.
Maybe that's what the purpose of this podcast is to figure out what the hell horror encompasses.
I know what a monster film is. I know what a slasher film is. I don't entirely know what a horror film is.
Apparently, I just know what comedies are.
What did you pick, Jinx?
Me? I picked
Der Samurai.
Der Samurai.
Not a horror film.
No, oh, it
probably
was. Not at all.
I think it was. Not a horror film.
It's more of a horror film.
So, what I'm saying is that three of us have not picked a horror film for a horror film podcast. One of us, named Seth, has.
Point Seth.
You picked a monster movie.
I haven't, in fact, picked Dose.
Hey.
Monster movies.
You're not a horse.
Hey. We did do, on my recommendation, a Friday the 13th podcast when we watched Jason X. I'm pretty sure that's a horror film.
We did Elm Street.
We did. Well, that was before. That was a long time before. That was. No, it wasn't. It was right at the very beginning.
Yeah, we did that.
We did know. Nightmare.
Okay.
Kind of did a little.
I don't think I've been scared in any of these movies.
We're not going to.
Okay.
We did some. Okay, let me go ahead and say that.
I would like to watch a terrifying movie.
What is that? Let's go ahead and find out.
I'd like to watch one.
Let's find out what terrifies us here in this
room. I don't know
room.
What DMT
Guys,
is, but I'd like to have it.
Drum up one or two choices for movies that you find terrifying. Sure. I'll go Exorcist and.
Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1 terrifies the shit out of me.
Okay. Dave, how about you?
I don't like
I've always thought one of the scariest movies was still the original Nosferatu.
That scares you?
It does.
Really?
I just love the way
it's unnerving.
It's a great film.
It's real unnerving.
I love the way he moves.
Yeah, it's I think it's so unnerving because the guy looks like that. it doesn't look fake.
Well, if you watch Shadow of the Vampire, you would know that Max Schreck is in fact the vampire.
But it's Nosferatu is a very unnerving film. Really. Okay. Yeah.
I always found I always appreciated that movie because it's a beautifully made movie. I love how it's shot. I love all of his German expressionist films, especially I think my favorite from that era was Cabin of Dr. Caligari. I love that film. But I always found the Kinski film, the Werner Herzog movie.
Klaus Kinski?
Yes, Nosferatu the Vampire to be actually much more scary.
You know
than
what
the original.
You know what movie terrifies me that's not a horror film?
What's that?
Wizard of Oz.
Really?
The monkeys? Terrifies.
Flying monkeys?
I can't watch it. There's something
that freaked me out as a kid.
There's something not right about it. I think there's just something off. I don't like it.
Okay. Brian, how about you? What scares you?
Out of me.
Striptease.
Oh, come on. I want a real answer
show,
out of you before we leave.
Showgirls.
Scream reference.
Absolutely terrifying.
I don't know. Like... I know that
what was the last
Pet
film
Cemetery scared me a lot whenever I was little, but I haven't watched it in a long time, so I don't know how that holds up.
You might judge me for this. Insidious terrifies me. The first one does.
It doesn't scare me at all.
It's like ghost films don't really scare me, but for some reason demon films when a demon film is shot and written like a ghost film terrifies me. Like adding that little bit of it's not a ghost, it's a demon, that does it for me. I don't know why that is.
Did you find The Conjuring to be scary at all?
Yeah, but mostly for like a jump scare unease, not like genuine fear.
Right.
Insidious, the first thing gave me genuine fear.
Yeah, I mean, The Conjuring is, I really like The Conjuring, but you're right about that. More so than building actual dread, it is jump scares. But the thing is they're so finely crafted, those jump scares.
Yeah,
I mean,
it keeps me on edge, but it doesn't terrify me. Like I don't think about them whenever I go home that night. Insidious stuck with me for a while.
I gotcha.
I watched Rosemary's Baby very recently. And
it's a creepy.
That was
that's
very.
It's a creepy movie. Yeah, it is. It's a very creepy movie. But
The Exorcist works for me still. Like
I've never seen
one
it.
Of the few movies that
never seen.
You know, inevitably when you watch a horror film on the next pass, it's not going to be as scary. You can watch it and appreciate certain things about it. Maybe you can still be a little unnerved, but it's never going to have quite the power that it does on that first viewing. I found very few. Maybe Texas Chainsaw, in a way, but the one that scares the hell out of me every time I watch it, like at about the same level as The Exorcist. Like it's
Nightmare on Elm Street is the exact same way for me.
Really?
I can't watch Nightmare on Elm Street. Like I can't watch it alone anyway. If it was me in my house, windows open at noon, I can't watch that film.
Really?
I won't sleep that night if I watch that film. It terrifies me. It's the first one terrifies me.
The other ones make me laugh, but that one terrifies me.
Okay, and maybe that's, you know, even though our term can be all-encompassing, like, well, not all-encompassing, but encompass a wide range of films here for this podcast that we can maybe squeeze into Detention or Behind the Mask or Der Samurai or whatever. But the really great horror movies, I think, are the ones whose power isn't dimmed on repeat viewings. Like, those are
right,
the ones
but,
that you
but
can
I
be
think,
absolutely
I think
certain
also, the reason it's hard to peg down what one is because it's all a subjective thing. Because Insidious terrifies me. It makes Brian laugh.
I've had conversations with people that it's like a terrifying movie, and I've laughed through that whole movie.
Wow.
The movie's hilarious.
That movie scared me as a kid, but not so much anymore.
That's the thing. I didn't see it whenever I was a kid. I just watched it like 2 years ago.
I only saw it as an adult. And
I saw it
really
as a kid when it was on TV, and boy, I was not terrified at all.
Like, where the fuck did this metal spider come from?
That spider is
Well, that first
awful.
Half of the movie is so talky.
Yeah.
I mean, you
have
just
you
have
the
to
book?
Kind of wade through it.
Kind of the same way.
I don't want to read the book.
I really, I like...
kind of the same thing.
I like the collection of characters. I love them as kids, and I love them
Seth
as adults,
Green's in it.
Absolutely.
And Jonathan Brandis.
So is... No, that was Stand By Me. Never mind.
John Boy.
And Emily Perkins, who would go on to be in Gingersnaps, which I would love to bring in sometime.
Still
so
haven't seen
it.
It's very good.
You've never seen Gingersnaps?
Minstrel Werewolf. Bring it into the screaming room.
I will bring in Gingersnaps. I'd like to do a true... No, I wouldn't. I would like to do a double feature of Gingersnaps. We should watch one and two.
No, I want to see all three. I want to see all three.
Don't get
ahead of yourself.
I think franchise. I think I could
you know, the franchise.
First one would be fun.
No,
I've seen the first one. I don't think I need to go any further with that story.
I think you do, because it goes back to, like, Salem time.
No, you don't want to. The third one is...
That has nothing to do with any of the... anything that...
doesn't have anything to do with Canada.
No, it's just that the first one is just great. It's not about werewolves.
No.
But the other ones seem like they're about werewolves.
No, the second one is absolutely about... the second film is about addiction. Like, they have made... It totally is. The third one is about...
werewolves?
Yes. The third one
I
is...
I want to watch that one.
Third one's Deep
I've seen
Deespoon.
Underworld.
The franchise.
Underworld is a franchise.
It is.
There are
it
four
is.
Of them. Sure. There are four of them.
I agree.
It's a quadrilogy.
I kind of even throw the Van Helsing movies in with that franchise.
I love Van Helsing. Yeah.
There's...
Wait, is there one?
There's one.
One.
It just felt like
it's in the franchise.
My mind there too.
It goes in there. All right, I think the stock's pretty much petered out,
Hush.
Guys. What do we start this podcast talking about again? Hush.
Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray. We did not talk about Sugar. That was before I hit record. Yeah. Thank
they
goodness.
Were a punk
we spared
band.
Our listener that
funk metal. Listen to Sugar Ray's Mean Machine.
It's scary.
It'll blow your mind away.
All right, gang. Thanks so much for tuning in. And I keep saying tuning in. Who's tuning in?
Well, I won't.
Well,
be.
when they click it, click play, they
is that
are
kind of tuning in.
You have to talk like they're listening, like they're listening to you now.
All right.
Then.
Yeah.
Later. It's always now. Now.
Thanks so much for listening today, whoever you are, listeners out there in listener land. We hope you appreciated our talk about Hush and all the other tangents we went off on. If you like this talk or if you hated it, please get back to us and let us know. We're on Twitter, for fuck's sake. I'm Jinx, 1981.
You sound so just like hat in hand, door to door.
Please. If you hate us, let us know. If you love us, please let us know.
I would love hate mail and death threats.
Yes.
Love it.
Just give us something. Let us know that you're out there.
Somebody come on, nerds.
Please.
If you're
someone,
if you're on death row.
They don't get the internet get on death row.
Be sure to subscribe on iTunes if you're getting at us through the Scream Addict site. Maybe leave us a review. Just yell at us
only
on Twitter.
Only good ones, though. We don't want those negative ones.
At Scream Addicts.
Jinx erases them.
Five stars or none.
Wait, I haven't erased a single review.
That's because we haven't had
any.
But I will. But I want to see them first, but I might.
Don't erase them.
I'll
leave them all.
I'm not going to erase them.
Leave them all. It's natural.
I want a collection. So you can also yell at me on Twitter. I am at Jinx1981. Brian, you are?
At Brian_Prim.
Dave?
I am at Zesty Ken.
And Seth?
At SethDixon00. But my name is Jeff.
I'm going to change it to Paul, yeah.
Whatever you do, do not get at Seth about Captain America being a Nazi. It's kind of a sore point for him.
Captain America's a Nazi?
No, unfucking believable. These people on the fucking internet are convinced.
Goodbye,
it's
everyone.
Stupid.
These people
stupid
on the internet.
Fucking